Good afternoon. Welcome back to Anticipation, our series on the importance of yearning for and actively awaiting and praying for the coming of Mashiach. Today's episode is entitled Demanding Impact. This is the 55th episode, and we are going to focus on the impact you can have by demanding that Mashiach come. Let me repeat that for emphasis. Your demanding from Hashem can have an impact. Really? Who are you to make demands of God? Who am I? Who really are any of us to make demands? Especially about something as important as the end of world history as we know it and the ushering in of a brand new age that is filled with the knowledge of the Creator, and as such, necessarily the end of the foibles of humanity. Because when Hashem is revealed and the Creator's presence is to be seen and felt everywhere, who would do the wrong thing? Nobody. So everything changes. And reality as we know it is altered forever. And you or I make demands? Seriously? So on Pesach Sheni, in the year 1984, the Rebbe spoke about this. And the Rebbe asked a rhetorical question, really almost about himself. Because the Rebbe was the one who demanded that we demand. He said it was so important for us all to ask for Mashiach's coming. And then the Rebbe said, you know, there are those who might argue, why are we speaking so much ceaselessly about the coming of Mashiach and about us making demands for it? Ani mamen, that I believe in the coming of Mashiach, and that we are achak Eloi, that we are awaiting Mashiach. Shouldn't we just rely on God? The Rebbe quoted his own Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, and this is found in Lakuta Deburim in volume 4. Over there, the Friedrich Rebbe, repeating the words of his father, the Rebbe Rashab, said, and I quote, Avinu Malkeinu Yisborech, our father, our king, blessed be he, hat uns vertrieben in Golos, he drove us into exile, vohu Yisborech, and he, Almighty God himself, vet uns arisleisen, he will redeem us. V'yikabetz nidocheinu, he will gather our exiles, me arba kanfes ha'oretz, from the proverbial four corners of the world, v'yolicheinu kamemius, he will walk us upright, al yedei Mashiach goyel tzedek, by virtue of Mashiach, the righteous redeemer, la'artzeinu ha'kedosha, to our holy land, v'mheda v'yameinu, speedily, and in our days, amen. So the Rebbe said, I mean, clearly, the Friedrich Rebbe articulates this idea that God himself sent us into Golos, and it is God himself who will restore us to the newly rebuilt and refurbished Eretz Yisrael, the Yerushalayim of the future, the coming of Mashiach. So if God himself is the one who decides when Mashiach comes, and none of us can imagine that we could force the hand of Hashem, then why are we making demands? Why don't we just study Torah, do mitzvahs, live lives that are upright, decent, moral, and righteous, and wait, rather than await. Hope, rather than anticipate. And when Hashem decides it's time, we'll be ready to welcome Mashiach into our lives. And the Rebbe said that this is a very good question, and it has a very good answer. And the answer is found in our own history. The story of our peoplehood, but perhaps more importantly, the story of Hashem giving us, the Jewish people, the Torah. The Rebbe directed our attention to Parshat Bahalotcha. This is the book of Numbers, Sefer Bamidbar, Kapitel Tes, chapter 9, from verse 6 onward. The Torah tells us the story of Pesach Sheni, the second Passover. Vayihi anoshim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam. So they were these people, and they were ritually defiled because of contact with a corpse. V'lo yachlu laseis ha-pesach b'yayim ahu. So they couldn't offer the Pesach or Paschal offering. They couldn't bring the Korban Pesach on that day. V'yikrvu lufnei Moshe v'lefnei Aharon b'yayim ahu. And so, on that very day, they approached Moshe and Aaron, who were in their tent, which served as the house of study, on that very day. Verse 7. V'yomru ha'anoshim ha'hema elov. And those men said to Moshe, Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. We are defiled, ritually defiled, because of our contact with a corpse. Yet, lama nigara, why should we be excluded? I mean, they argued last year, the Korban Pesach that was brought in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, prior to the Exodus, wasn't really a Korban at all. Everybody just slaughtered the lamb and placed the blood on the doorposts. And they ate the meat. So why should it be any different this year? And maybe it doesn't really become a Korban, assuming the full trappings of the laws or legalities, until we actually come into the land of Eretz Yisrael, until we have a Beit HaMikdash. Now it's just a Mishkan. And incidentally, this idea that it could be an exceptional case wasn't wrong, because this was the only Korban Pesach that the Jewish people brought in the desert. Subsequently, for the next four decades, there were no Korbanot Pesach that were brought, despite the fact that they had a Mishkan and daily offerings. So they said, maybe these laws don't apply now. And they said, Lama Nigara, why should we be excluded from slaughtering and eating the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, it's true. Last year it wasn't a Korban, but God has told us that this year it is a Korban. And if it's to be treated as a Korban, you know that only people who are tahor, people who are ritually pure, may offer this Korban, this offering. So they argue back, well, okay, there's two aspects to the Korban. There is the eating or consumption of the meat, and then there's the placing of the blood of the animal. So at least let the blood be dashed on our behalf. And it serves as a mechanism for atonement and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was the demand they made. Lama nigara levilti hikrev es korban Hashem. Why should we be excluded from offering Hashem's special korban? And the word korban, of course, means closeness. Sacrifice is a terrible translation for the word korban. It's a Greek word. Korban is a euphemism or comes from the etymology of karov or kiruv, closeness. So they said, why should we be excluded from drawing close, from fostering this closeness, experiencing this special relationship with God, b'moado, in its proper time, b'toch b'nei Yisrael, along with the rest of our Israelite brethren? So the Sifri Zuta tells us that, well, let's start with the regular Sifri. The Sifri says, Vayomru ha'anoshim ha'hema. These were not people who sought a pretext. They weren't just kvetchers. Magid, from the fact that it says, ha'anoshim ha'hema, and that seems to be somewhat redundant, the Sifri tells us, this teaches, shahayu b'nei adam ksherim. They were people who were appropriate, suitable. This was meaningful. It wasn't inappropriate or wrong. This is a positive kvetching and complaining. They're charedim ala mitzvahs. They were yearning with great fervor, literally trembling with excitement to do a mitzvah. They didn't send a lawyer. They didn't ask anybody to argue their case. They came themselves. Ha'anoshim ha'hema, magad she'en yisholim ela l'bala ma'isa. They themselves came. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kodshim kreven betumah, you know that you can't bring offerings in the Beit HaMikdash in a state of ritual impurity. And they said, fine, yizorek hadom, let the blood be sprinkled for us. V'habasar nechal atayrim. So they weren't looking for a piece of meat. They weren't looking for a sandwich. This is not like the bad complaining of the people who said, where's the beef? The Sifri Zuta adds and tells us that Bale Shemotoyu, Ha'anashim, they were people of repute, people who were known. And they came themselves. They didn't have to send an advocate on their behalf. They came along and they said, Anachnu, Anachnu. They weren't coming as, this was not a national concern, this is a private concern. Private individuals. People who felt left out, excluded. And they said, why should we be nigorin miYisrael? Why should we be excluded from the rest of the Jewish people? The Sefer Yisrael says, liyas kemenudin, to be like we're in some kind of excommunication. We're somehow taken out of circulation. We're not looking for a good meal. We just want the spiritual participation, the benefits of being a part of this korban. That's all they're looking for. Who were these people? How did they become ritually defiled? It's an interesting question. The Gemara Masechet Sukkah on page 25 speaks about this. On the very bottom of Daf Chafei Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us that according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, these were Nosei Arono Shel Yosef. They were the people who carried Yosef's coffin. Of course, some of you are learned, and you may well remember that Moshe Rabbeinu himself brought Yosef's coffin out of Mitzrayim. Indeed, it is so. It was Moshe Rabbeinu himself who brought Moshe Rabbeinu's coffin out of Mitzrayim. But as the Chidah tells us in Pnei David, has a long discussion about this, and he says, the Medrash tells us that everybody was involved in the spoils of Mitzrayim. Moshe lokach atzmos Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu himself took the bones or the coffin of Yosef. In that case, how is it possible to suggest that these were the people who were carrying the coffin of Yosef? So the Chidah says there's actually a simple way to resolve this. At the time when they set forth on their journey, Moshe Rabbeinu took the coffins, he took the bones, and they were busy taking the gold, the silver, the diamonds, and the riches. But as days went on, Nitar al pi hadibur, Moshe Rabbeinu was cleansed and purified by virtue of God's decree, not the normative fashion. B'seder tahara shetzivei Hashem, in a methodology that Hashem ordained for Moshe Rabbeinu to obtain ritual purity. And then, umi'eis shenitar, from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu became purified, by virtue of God's direct instructions, shuv lo lekochem ba'atzma, he no longer took his bones. V'nisman alza anashim yiduim, he appointed people. Reputable people, reliable people, good people, but people, individuals. And the Chidah says this makes sense now. We can understand why it says that the Atzmat Yosef Asher He'elu B'nei Yisrael, that was taken by the Jewish people, because actually it was taken by the Jewish people. And every mitzvah is called by virtue of Gomra, the one who finishes the mitzvah. Okay, so this is one opinion. Good people doing a mitzvah, standing in for Moshe Rabbeinu, but ultimately ritually impure. Rabbi Akiva offers a different opinion. He says this is Mishael ve'el Tzofen Hayu. Those are the nephews of Aaron. They were commanded, as Rashi tells us, to take the bodies of Nadav and Avihu, the eldest sons of Aaron, who tragically perished by bringing unauthorized incense on the day the Mishkan was consecrated. Rabbi Yitzchak says, if they were the carriers of the coffin of Yosef, they should have been pure a long time ago. Why? Well, as Rashi explains in elaborate fashion, the Jewish people arrived at Mount Sinai. They didn't leave until nearly a year later, till the 20th of Iyar. And they weren't going anywhere, so the bones of Yosef were placed somewhere, and they had lots of time to become ritually pure. And so would the people who had been involved in the burial of Nadav and Avihu. Because that happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first Para Aduma, the first red heifer, or its ashes, were made on the second day of Nisan, and there was plenty of time for them to get pure. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak offers a different opinion. He says that this was people who weren't doing anything special. Oskin, b'mes mitzvah hayu. They were involved in a mitzvah burial or funeral. And Rashi tells us right away, it wasn't some kind of dramatic mes mitzvah. Lay mes mitzvah mamish. It wasn't their closest of kin. It wasn't somebody who only they could have taken care of. It was a a funeral. Chevra Kadisha. People die. Somebody has to take care. And these people volunteer to take care. So they were clearly good people. But they weren't national heroes necessarily. They weren't necessarily being featured in the evening news. Regular, good people who felt excluded and left out. So what happened? What happens is that Moshe Rabbeinu responds to them. He responds favorably because he sensed that they understood that they couldn't be included, and this bothered them. They wanted to achieve the same connection as everybody else. They wanted to be able to experience the same closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They knew that they were ritually impure. They knew that they didn't have what it takes, but they yearned for connection. They felt excluded from everybody else's positive spiritual experience, and they said, "We want to be part of this too." They made a demand. They made a demand, and as the Rebbe once pointed out, that the word lama nigora, nigora comes from the word of diminished. Why should we be less? He said, lama nigora, why should we be less? Why should we be diminished? That's not fair. I want to emphasize they weren't looking for some kind of material wealth or payback. They were looking for holiness, spirituality, closeness to God. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Imdu ve'eshma ma'yitzava Hashem lechem. Well then wait right here. I will see what God instructs me concerning you fine people. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as our sages tell us, was such an exalted prophet. He knew he could consult with God whenever he felt necessary. None of the other prophets were like this. They would have to wait and hope. They could yearn or anticipate, but never be certain as to when God might communicate with them. Moshe Rabbeinu is different. Now here's the big question. This is a part of the original Torah or not? So our sages tell us that these were part of the original ideas of the Korban Pesach, but Hashem foresaw that there was these righteous individuals who would yearn to perform this mitzvah, and therefore he actually didn't give them mitzvah. He didn't give them mitzvah until they made a demand. And only after they made those demands did Hashem accede to their request, give them mitzvah, and complete the Torah. Now, it has to be part of the Torah because at Aseret HaDibrot, when Hashem gave us the proverbial Ten Commandments, all of the Torah is already encoded into that. How do we know? Well, our sages tell us that. Consider this. The Zohar, in the second section of Parshas Yisri, this is Daf Tzadik Aleph, Amud Aleph says, with regard to the opening words of the statements Hashem made at Har Sinai, Anochi, that's the first mitzvah, the first statement Hashem made, Aseret HaDibrot, are 10 statements, not 10 commandments, because really there are 613 commandments, but the first statement Hashem made is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is a mitzvah in the Torah. I am the Lord your God. As the Rambam tells us, that's the mitzvah of believing in God, intelligent faith. And then there's the mitzvah of lo yielocha, a negative mitzvah. Don't have other gods. So the Zohar cryptically says, itmar birozo do'oraita, which means that the secret of Torah was encoded into these two mitzvot. And our sages understand this to mean that the entirety of the 248 positive mitzvahs is included in that first mitzvah that Hashem stated to us, Anochi, Hashem Elokecha, and that the 365 negative mitzvahs, the things we're not supposed to do, is already encoded into that first negative mitzvah, Lo Yielecha. V'do'ihu, and this is Zachor V'shomor. Zohar v'shomer is both the positive and negative way to describe the observance of Shabbat, but it, broadly speaking, becomes euphemistic for the things we do and the things we don't, the positive mitzvot and the negative mitzvot. In the words of the great Shalah in Parshas Yisrei, Anochi v'le'yilecha. Da, you must know, he says, ki anochi rosh v'shoresh kol ha'mitzvot aseh. The mitzvah, I am Hashem your God, is the beginning and the root source for all the positive mitzvahs. Lo yilecha, thou shalt not have any other gods, is a rosh v'shoresh. It is the head, the fountainhead. It is the source, the root of all mitzvot lo taseh. And the Shalah quotes the Gemara Masechet Makot, which is found on page 24, side A, Daf Chavdala Ramad Aleph, that it says, Avnoichi v'liyilecha mipi ha'gvura shamaynum. Those two mitzvahs were heard by the Jewish people directly from God. Al Kain, that's the reason, says the Shalah, Timotze kosuv behem b'loshon neichach. That's why there's a, Hashem is speaking in the first person. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord, your God. Lo yilecha, you shall not have any other gods. Alponai. Because the other mitzvahs, here in this case, Hashem Yisbaruch was medaber benochach. God is speaking, so to speak, face to face with every single Jew, men, women, and children who are gathered around the mountain. Masha'enkin b'shara dibris, the other statements or mitzvahs that were made later, lo sisa et shem Elokecha, do not take the name of God. It's not direct anymore. It doesn't say lo tisa et shmi, don't take my name in vain. He says don't take God's name in vain. So he's speaking in the third person, ki Moshe ha'yamadaber. It's actually not God, it's Moshe speaking. The Jewish people hear God speaking to Moshe. They can overhear or listen in, eavesdrop on the conversation, but it's Moshe Rabbeinu who gives them the mitzvah as we have it in the Torah. So all the mitzvahs are given to us at Mount Sinai, all 613 of them. The Alter Rebbe, in the beginning of the 20th chapter of Tanya, says clearly, V'hine midah zois lakol. This is widely known. And interestingly, we have the question, why does Alter Rebbe begin with this is widely known? And in some of the footnotes on Tanya, some of the commentaries, we say this is because the Alter Rebbe is trying to speak to each and every single person. After all, the book of Tanya was not written for the supremely righteous or those who walk in the heavens. It's written for ordinary people. It's for the average, everyday member of Am Yisrael who can and must strive for excellence in his or her avodat Hashem. And after all, that's based on the verse, Korov Elecha Hadover Me'od, that this Judaism, fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs, is exceedingly close to all of us. Not only in deed, not only in speech, but also in thought and consciousness. So we can all do this. So this is Me'dah, this is widely known. And the Alter Rebbe says, Ki mitzvahs va'azharas avodah zarah, that the mitzvah, the warning that is connected to worship of God and the proscription of alien service, heim shnei dibris reshenis, the first two statements, anoichi v'liyelecha, heim klolos kol ha'Torah kula. They represent the entirety of Torah. And that is not simply because in order for there to be mitzvahs, there has to be a God who's commanding or telling us to do a mitzvah. Which is the way the Rambam puts it in his Minyan HaMitzvahs. He says, you have to know that there is a beginning for everything or a commander to the mitzvahs. But that's not, says the Alter Rebbe, what's going on here. No. Rather, ki dibur anoichi koilel kol ramach mitzvahs haseh. The word anoichi includes all 248 positive mitzvahs. And lo yilecha is koilel kol shasa lois haseh. All 365 mitzvahs, things we shouldn't do, are all encrypted into that first mitzvah, that first negative commandment the Jewish people heard, lo yilecha. So, I mean, these mitzvahs had to be part of the Jewish people. And by the way, they are mitzvahs. They are not simply details, they are mitzvahs. You just have to open the Rambam's book of mitzvahs and you come upon positive mitzvah number 57, and I quote, Hu hatzivui shenitztavinu al shchitas Pesach sheni. This is the commandment that we got on the slaughtering of the second Passover lamb. L'misha nimna mimenu perei Pesach rishon. This mitzvah doesn't apply pragmatically to every single member of Am Yisrael. It applies and it's applicable for the person who missed the first Pesach. And he quotes the verse right here from the ninth chapter of the book of Numbers. And the Rambam says, Gam kan roi l'maksha shiaksha. The questioner has every right to question. and ask, Madua timna Pesach Sheni, why is this counted as a mitzvah? Does this not contradict what we spoke about in the preface to the book of mitzvahs, that halachot of a mitzvah are not included as a mitzvah itself? So this is just like details of a mitzvah, right? The Rambam says our sages have discussed this and argued about it, and they've come to the conclusion, upsak halacha. The question is this a hemshich to a continuation of the first mitzvah, the regular mitzvah of Korban Pesach, the Passover offering, or is it a tzivu miyuchad? Upsak halacha. And the ruling is, it's a tzivu miyuchad ba'atzmei. It is a mitzvah that stands on its own. Ulafichach, roi l'menoisi b'fnei atzmei. Therefore, it is worthy that it be enumerated on its own. Now, we know that there are 613 mitzvahs, and 248 of them are positive. We know that. The question is, what comprises those 248? And the Rambam is very clear in telling us that the mitzvah of the second Korban Pesach is one of those mitzvahs. Now, clearly nobody knew this mitzvah before. It's almost a year after the Torah was given. Nobody knows this mitzvah because Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, he for sure would have to know if this mitzvah was given. And they make these demands, and he doesn't have an answer. He says, I sense your sincerity. Your demand is well-founded. I don't have an answer for you. That means this mitzvah had to have been encoded into Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but it wasn't formally given, even to Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, by the way, there's another positive mitzvah. That's mitzvah 58. Hatzivu shenetzavinu le'echol. Besar Pesach Sheni Beleil Tezvav Be'ir. This is definitely a separate mitzvah because it's given at a different time. The mitzvah that we have for one who brings the Korban Pesach to eat the meat of the Korban Pesach on the night of the 14th of Iyar, the eve of the 15th. That would be tonight. So that's again a second positive mitzvah. And there are a whole bunch of details as to how we have to prepare the Korban Pesach, but then we have details of what we are not allowed to do with regard to the Korban Pesach. Mitzvah Kuf Chav Beis, according to the Rambam's enumeration or system, mitzvah 122 of the negative mitzvah says we are not allowed to break a bone of the skeleton of the Korban Pesach Sheni. You can't break any bones. You can't break any bones of the Korban Pesach Rishon. That's mitzvah 121. But 122 is you can't break any bones of the Korban Pesach Sheni. Mitzvah 119 is we're not allowed to leave over the meat for the next morning. That's the morning of the 15th of Iyar. That's two positive mitzvahs and two negative mitzvahs. And yet we're told that this is already encoded into the mitzvahs that were given at Mount Sinai. But at the same time, even Moshe Rabbeinu himself wasn't given those mitzvahs. What made those mitzvahs come to light? What brought forth these mitzvot? The answer, my friends, is very simple. It happened because people made a sincere demand. And so the Rebbe says there's a very powerful lesson that's being conveyed to us here. We're talking about completing the mitzvot. Up until this point, there weren't 248. There were only 246 positive mitzvahs. Up until this point, there weren't 365. There were only 363 negative mitzvahs. Or, if you will, 609 mitzvahs. And now we reach the magic number of 613 by virtue of a demand. A demand that was made by appropriate, fine, but rather ordinary people. Because they wanted to be part of the closeness to Hashem. In other words, the impact of this demand is extraordinary. The Rebbe went on to say, it's not only perfection in the number of mitzvot, it even brings a shleimut, it brings a perfection to the Torah itself. The Torah, which is the embodiment of God's wisdom and will, is only perfected and completed when it's carried out. As the famous teaching of our sages, what's found in Masechet Kiddushin, and this is quoted in halachic terminology, both in the Rambam and in the Code of Jewish Law, when the question was asked, is it more important to study Torah or more important, to act upon its directives. Is Talmud Gadol or Maaseh Gadol? And the answer is Talmud Gadol, study Torah, study is greater. Do you know why though? Because it's mevi lidei Maaseh. In other words, the only reason that Torah study is so great, the only reason that it's superior and more virtuous is because it brings to mitzvahs being carried out. In other words, the perfection, the shleimut of Torah is to be found in its being carried out. So here we have Torah wisdom, even if it was encoded into Torah, it couldn't have been acted upon. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody heard about this mitzvah. Even Moshe Rabbeinu himself doesn't know about it. And now the Torah itself becomes complete because of the demands of ordinary people. Imagine that. And so the Rebbe says, this is a very, very clear, profound, and powerful lesson about the potency of our prayers. Yes, we can make a difference. And our demands can have an enormous impact. Not only is it unreasonable and impossible to say that our demanding Mashiach is inappropriate, quite the contrary. Our demanding the coming of Mashiach is demanded of us. It's expected of us. After all, in our daily prayers, we are instructed to ask for Mashiach multiple times. In our Shmona Esrei, which is the climax of prayer, here we are saying, Es tzemach David avdecha, the sprout of your servant David, Meheira tatzmiach. We don't say he should sprout. We don't say the Sion should come forth. We say Meheira, very speedily. That's a demand. We say we await the coming of Mashiach, ki lishuatcha, for your salvation, kivinu kol hayoim. We're waiting, anticipating, awaiting the coming of Mashiach all day long. We're waiting to see the realization of the divine promise. So we're making that demand. It's not only okay, it's mandatory. Because our demand can and will have an impact. The Mashiach will come on demand when we demand his coming. My friends, this is the historical precedence of our nation at the dawn of its peoplehood, and this is the instruction that you and I can lift from what happened then in a manner that uplifts, encourages, and inspires us today. Today, Pesach Sheni, is the day that Hashem completed the Torah because of those demands. Let us not be silent. Let us plead, let us beg, let us cajole, let us demand the coming of Mashiach now in our time. B'mheira u'b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days, amen. Thanks so much for joining. Please share this message as widely as you can, and hopefully if we all make the demand together, we'll finally get the answer that we've all been waiting for. Thank you for joining. Have a beautiful day.